To be effective, a coach must continually experience personal and spiritual renewal.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments.
Welcome to today's Gospel Coach Podcast. Jim Moon is on a well-deserved sabbatical, and so I continue to be flying solo in these discussions. I think I told you when we first began the discussions about doing a podcast, because a new gospel coach had pressed me on this idea, and then he and a couple of others suggested we do a specific podcast for people trained as gospel coaches so we could provide them with some reminders and some fresh ideas, offer resources, and re-engage with you, even if it is in this impersonal way on a podcast. So I want to just jump in today. We'll go through this. And just to remind you of some of these factors about gospel coaching. And the first one I want to say is that gospel coaching is a unique approach to coaching. We're not simply offering some new methodology. We do have a method to what is called gospel coaching, and methods are important, just as maps are necessary when you're traveling. So a method gives you a map, but methods are not value neutral. They take you places. And so when we approach coaching, we say we can't rely on a non-theological, humanistic, methodologically driven approach to coaching, like so many do. There's a theology behind it. There's a belief system about us, about man, about God, about how Christians live in their relationship with God. I want to quote from Henry Nouwen. Now, I recognize for some of you he's a Catholic. You might have some objection, but what he said in this is quite telling. He said, "Real theological thinking, which is thinking with the mind of Christ, is hard to find in the practice of ministry. Without solid theological reflection, future leaders will be little more than pseudo-psychologists. They will think of themselves as enablers, facilitators, role models, father or mother figures, big brothers or big sisters, and so on, and thus join the countless men and women trying to help their fellow human beings cope with the stresses and strains of everyday living. But that has little to do with Christian leadership." That's really profound. And I think it's important that we remind one another that gospel coaching is a different form of coaching. It's uniquely different than what you may find in the marketplace and other places. And because of that, I say, it's the single most important ingredient in the health and sustainability of a leader. You can go to a lot of conferences, you can go to seminars and training places, you'll get more investment and more mileage in working with a leader by one-on-one coaching with them. We have to think about how important it is that the gospel is re-engaging with people at a personal level. So if you're going to coach other people in the gospel, it becomes imperative, though, that you walk by the Spirit, that you're being influenced by the Spirit in these grace-renewing dynamics for your own life as well. It's important that you understand the gospel and that you live by this life of Jesus in your life. It means that we're being re-entered into, as you remember in the training, the gospel story. Whether you learned it as a 4-chapter story or a 5-chapter version, the gospel story isn't about what you have to do to get God. It's what God has done to get you. It's about what God has done. It's about him and what he's doing to renew or to recreate what his rebellious and arrogant creatures ruined. Our relationships with others have been ruined. Our relationship with ourselves has been ruined. Our relationship with the mission that God has for us to rule his creation has been ruined. And our relationship with God himself has been ruined. And we have to remind ourselves that we're re-entering into that story. The Apostle Paul wrote to one of his coachees, maybe I'm stretching the New Testament a bit, one of his young pastoral interns, one of the young pastors that he trained up, Timothy. And he wrote this. He said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Now, do you see in that passage, this is a big passage for us, do you see the dynamics, of the grace dynamics of what grace does for people and how it works itself out in your life and then in the life of your coachee? Let's go through it very carefully again. So the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, those desires, those over-desires, that's what he's saying, and to say yes to living self-controlled, controlled by a higher affection or a new desire, not by our willpower, but being controlled by something that's a greater affection to us than what this world has to offer us, and to live godly, upright lives. Now, we called that in your training. That's the distress part of living by these grace-renewing dynamics. There has to be this joyful sense of repentance. I'm saying no to things that are trying to captivate my desires. While we wait, Paul said, for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. There's the delight that we have. This faith in Jesus Christ who has redeemed us. He's given himself to us and bought us back for himself. What great delight we have. And then to purify for himself a people, Paul went on, that are very eager to do what is good. There's that sense of direction, that generous obedience that we should be after. So there's a reliance, a God-reliance when it comes to gospel coaching, and self-reliance in coaching, as you as a coach, it'll make you unprepared and unprayed up. I don't even know if that's a word, but unprepared and unprayed. So when you think about it, we're usually good at what we enjoy. And if you wanted to become a coach, you probably enjoy coaching. When I was in high school, the job I thought that I wanted to do was to become a high school teacher and a coach, a PE coach, sports, football, PE, baseball, because I enjoy coaching other people to reach their fullest potential. I had no idea that God would take me back then into the role that I have now, but it is a coaching role. So because we're good at the things that we enjoy doing, we have to be careful that we don't rely on ourselves to do it. Secondly, let me remind you of this, to coach from your own weakness, not your strengths. You've probably heard somebody say along your journey, God never gives you more than you can handle. And they probably said it in an effort to try to cheer you up, to cheer you on during a very hard time in your life. Don't worry, God never gives you more than you can handle. But the reality is that's just not true. God often gives us more than we can handle so that we can learn to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, 1 Corinthians 1:9. So we can coach then out of our own weakness as well as our strengths. Gospel coaches, I found, are ready to plunge their failures into the grace of Christ and thereby model Christ's power being made strong in weakness. I heard someone say once something to the effect, there's no such thing as a great man of faith. There are only helpless, weak, faithless men of a great and good God. That's what we need to be relying on. So you remember, coach, that you're not the hero of your coachee's story. Don't try to rescue them. When they're struggling and trying to find answers, they don't need you to try to rescue them and to give them the answer and to give them the way out of the dark path that they're on. They need to hear your honesty as one who's made mistakes, doesn't know the answer, but can point them to Jesus Christ as the true hero, the one who came to redeem them of those failures. Coaches, live out the truth of this reality, of this life of ongoing learning, of personal growth in faith and in love. They're learning to live, you are learning to live by those three D's that I mentioned: distress, delight, and direction. We used to call this, by the way, in training, if you go way back, the gospel dance, but we've made it better. We call it the gospel 3D, the three dimensions. Distress over our sin, that's repentance. Delighting in Christ, that's our faith. And the direction, the action as a way to life. So in other words, these grace-renewing dynamics are instrumental in being a coach who sees only strength, who sees their only strength by plunging themselves into the grace of God. My good friend and mentor in all things church planning, assessing, training, he's taught me much about how to train people. And he wrote, to be effective, a coach must continually experience personal and spiritual renewal. And this happens when through the Holy Spirit, the leader sees himself as a forgiven sinner and a righteous sinner in Christ. That is what brings confidence and power to his life and ministry. Let me go back and read that. They see themselves as a forgiven sinner, and ready, a righteous made sinner in Christ. If either a consciousness of sin or acceptance of God's love is missing, the gospel fails to operate. As coaches, we too must be clothed with the gospel and experience continual renewal. Then in our relationship with the church planner, we will stimulate one another to radical repentance and reliance on Christ by faith. So what do you do to keep your own life as a coach, your heart motivations, your driving force vital before God? We talk a lot about these grace renewing dynamics. You're hearing me talk about them. Gospel this, gospel that. And I know this is called the Gospel Coach podcast. We talk about gospel coaching. But really, it isn't about a doctrine called the gospel. It's about a person that the gospel is all about, Jesus Christ.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you've received in your foundations class when you've trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sims, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
Third, I want to ask you about a personal criteria. This is completely off the track that we've just been on, but let me just end with this. Have you ever thought about the kind of person that you want to coach or will coach? I recognize some of you are assigned people in your adjudicatories, but even then, it would be helpful to think about the kind of person that you're investing in. You're investing your time, your life, and your influence in the life of another, and then the people that that person is influencing is being affected by your investment. So how important is it for you to think about the kind of people that you want to coach? Let me offer you three that I have. Coach people who have a kingdom life. Now, I don't mean that I only want to coach or you should only want to coach world changers. I think we've harmed and discouraged many a leader who may not see themselves as a world changer, but they do want to live for God's kingdom, not for their own kingdom. So when you find somebody who has a kingdom-oriented life, in other words, what they want to do with their life, what they want to do with the reason they're asking you to coach is to advance God's kingdom here on this earth, his goodness, his care for his creation, his care for his creatures, those are good people to coach. Secondly, coach people who have an inspiring mission. Someone says, I want to plant a church in XYZ city. Okay, I've done a lot of those people. But man, when you find a planter who says, I want to plant a network of church planting churches that are influencing a region with the good of the gospel of Jesus, or a person who says, I need a coach to help me start my company or run my store, versus a leader who says, I'm on a mission to influence the lives of those who work for me and the people around me. Well, you get that idea. They have an inspiring mission. It's not just they have a kingdom life, but the mission that they are personally on is an inspiring, captivating one. And then thirdly, people that are committed to coaching. They value coaching. They prepare for it. They're not squeezing their sessions in while they're driving to another appointment. I can tell in the first few sessions whether or not the coaching relationship is going to last. When I'm pushed to the margins of their schedule as a coach, I know this is not going to last. Usually someone who has been told to get a coach by their superior or a supporting organization usually are not committed to coaching. But I've coached many people, some who are high-level, high-capacity leaders who said, I have to have a coach. I need a coach. I do not have all the answers. Nobody can outperform themselves without a coach. At CMM, we're in the church vitality business. We aim to increase the leadership capacity of missional organizations that are planting churches or leading in places of worship, community, and mission that send others into the 3.2 billion people in the world that don't have a Bible, a place to worship, or any Christian community. So we're in this church vitality business, and we do that best by investing our influence first to individual leaders by gospel coaching them. We have a team of gospel coaching people that are professionals, and by professional trade, they coach other leaders all around the world. Thankfully, we have Zoom. At CMM, we train missional-level coaches that are giving away gospel coaching to leaders in their spheres of influence. We're doing that in participation with a number of different organizations, just to name a few, the Southern Baptist Associational Leaders, the Korean Language Churches in North America, among chaplaincies and local church networks, a growing partnership with churches in Northern United Kingdom, in Scotland, Ireland, in a growing association of churches in a very large island in the Caribbean. They're missionally level coaches. And we are in the midst of launching and will launch a gospel coach network for support system to our growing global community of trained gospel coaches through CMM and our partner City to City. We hope that you'll be part of this growing community and that you, as you are gospel coaching and learn how to do gospel coaching in different places, will become teachers of ours and invest in us to help us become better coaches to leaders around the globe. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.